Welcome to Carittles. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, How to Regain Professional Credibility, part 2 of 2.
The questions this cast answers are, what do I do when someone says, you're not credible? What does not credible mean? And how do I demonstrate credibility?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Starting your career off on the right foot is essential, and our new Career Tools license is here to help. Designed for those beginning their professional journey, our resources guide you every step of the way. Our interviewing series gives you confidence to impress in every interview. From preparation to follow-up, you'll learn how to stand out from the competition. A strong relationship with your first boss can accelerate your career, and our Effective Relationship series reveals the best way to build and sustain these important connections, making it easier for you to navigate the workplace. Plus, with our podcast content, you can enhance your personal productivity, sharpen your presentation skills, and tackle any challenge with ease. No matter where your starting point is, we provide the perfect on-ramp to your desired career path. Equip yourself today with the right resources to begin your career journey with confidence. Check it out online today at manager-tools.com/licenses.
So Amanda, last week we talked about issues of credibility and really describing what credibility was, what it could be, because it isn't one thing. It's lots and lots of behaviors that people just lump together and call credibility. And we talked about Amy, who, as an example, was writing data analysis reports in her mid-sized tech company. And the marketing team has said that they can't rely on her reports and it's damaging her credibility because her data analysis isn't right. And so in this, we're going to carry on and we're going to talk about identifying opportunities to demonstrate credibility, which is the beginning of solving the problem of restoring your credibility.
So we're going to take two approaches when looking for opportunities to demonstrate your credibility. First, focus on small, everyday opportunities. And then second, develop a larger campaign to address the main problem.
Yeah. So in Amy's case, the most obvious opportunity to regain her team's respect is to start providing accurate reports. But even if the team knows that her boss has addressed this issue with her, they're unlikely to trust her reports at face value for some time. If I'm not trusting Amy because for the last 3 months she's been giving me reports and every time there's been an error, even if her boss comes to me and says, I've had a word, it's going to be fine, she's going to be right from now on, the first report I'm going to get from her, I'm going to assume there's an error and I'm going to be looking for it because history is more powerful than her boss's comments about, I've told her it's going to be fine. And so it's going to take some time of seeing consistent, accurate reports before I start to trust her credibility. And so in the meantime, we have to have a short-term campaign as well.
So in the short term, increasing your general professional credibility will also help increase specific credibility in the area which you have the problem. Think of it this way. If you have an accountant who dresses like he's ready to mow the lawn and makes errors in your account, the big issue is the errors in your account.
Like how he dresses doesn't matter as long as the accounts are right, right?
Yeah. So if the next time you see him, he's wearing a suit and looking a lot more professional, you're still going to check those accounts carefully, no matter how good his suit montage is.
Right. We talked about suit montages last week.
Right. Yeah. So even though the change in his dress signals that he's taking his job more seriously and those accounts are less likely to have errors, you would still double check it until he shows you consistently that there are no errors in your report. That yes, the first step was changing the suit, taking my job a little bit more seriously, be, dare I say, more professional, but you still have to demonstrate that specific behavior that was impacting the credibility. So again, just because he has a suit, it's no more likely that the accounts will be right. But the fact that he's demonstrating more of that general professionalism will help convince them that he's much more credible in this area of concern.
Yes, it sort of tells you, hey, I'm paying attention. I'm at least caring about your feedback. I'm making some effort in this area. So we've got a list of small, easily implemented solutions that can demonstrate your general credibility and professionalism. These are all things that you can do immediately if you're on a campaign with a big problem or a larger issue like Amy and the accountant. These are all things that you can do. Well, you don't have to buy a suit, but other things that demonstrate general professionalism and credibility that will help to start just increasing the base level.
Right away. So what you can do immediately to help take a step in the right direction when it comes to your credibility is having the answers during the Q&A sessions. What you're supposed to be talking about, actually having the answers to those simple questions or those more complex questions.
Having examples to back up hunches. So you don't just say, I think, or I feel like it's going to be. You have a reason or an example for that hunch.
Yeah, having the factors, I would say, to back up the hunch that someone might ask about. Having the numbers on hand, right? To be able to back up those hunches, provide those answers.
Asking the right questions, where the right questions means the ones that are relevant to the meeting you're in or the ones that are at the right level for the meeting you're in. Sometimes people ask very basic questions in a meeting where we've had the first three meetings on this topic. We've done the basic stuff and now we're on the stuff in the middle. And then someone will ask a basic question. That's not the right question.
Yeah. Or they think it's the right question, but it's already been asked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were probably thinking of your question while I was answering it 5 minutes ago. So make sure you have the right questions and that you insert them at the right times.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering the facts and statistics about that topic.
Following up, following through. People that follow up. I sent this to you 3 days ago. But people that just remember that I was supposed to do something 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm amazed by those people.
Using precise language rather than vague terms.
Especially if you're technical. Using the actual word for the whatever thing it is rather than the thing. It's much better. Admitting not knowing and committing to find answers. So if you're asked a question and you don't know the answer, or you think you know the answer, but you're not sure, saying, I don't know, or I'm not sure, and I'm going to go and find out, and then finding out and following through and sending the person the answer, that's a professional behavior.
Citing sources when presenting information.
And
when it comes to credibility, yeah.
The internet says is that's not a source.
ChatGPT.
Speaking without hesitation. People believe that if you speak fluidly, you are more confident. You believe in what you're saying. So practice that if that's one of your issues. She said, hesitating in the middle of a sentence.
Acknowledging and learning from mistakes. Because we all make mistakes. Just own it and learn from it and hopefully don't do it again.
And everybody noticed you made it.
I make mistakes all the time. Throw yourself under the bus. That's
Me
also
too.
A podcast.
Yes. When you're explaining things, provide the context and the nuance. So don't give blanket explanations for things. Don't say all the buses are red, because that's not true. Some buses are blue. And you want to say, hey, all buses are red. I know that some are blue in these contexts, but for the purpose of this discussion, let's just assume all buses are red.
Yeah. Maintaining consistency between words and actions. Again, it comes back to being consistent.
Mm-hmm. Presenting confidently, where confidently isn't a behavior, but I think we all know what confidently looks like when presenting.
Essentially, a lot of the things that we've already talked about, right? Not hesitating, having answers, not hesitating twice. Trust me, I'm a professional.
Respecting confidentiality is a really important one. People will not trust you if they have evidence that you're not trustworthy, that they have no reason to, and you only have to do it once.
Seeking feedback and acting on it constructively. So ask, what can I do to be better? And then actually do it. This goes back to follow up and follow through, right? If you actually get the feedback, do something with it.
And lastly, meeting, it's not lastly, it's just last on this list, meeting deadlines consistently.
I feel like that one, pretty self-explanatory. Yeah,
exactly.
Hit your deadlines.
So those are all the little things you can start doing immediately. The bad news about credibility is the next section, which is putting in the work. And the bad news about increasing credibility in that main area of concern is that it's going to take work over the longer term. So in our example, in order to show that her report can be trusted, Amy's going to have to show her work. She's going to have to do more work to show that her reports can be trusted for every report going forward until people trust her report. So she might have to do more slides showing how she got to the number she did. She might have to meet with the members of the team to go over her methodology. She might have to ask for training. She might have to ask for and act on the feedback, even if she thinks it's irrelevant or silly. There's a lot more things she could do. She might have to sit and listen to people tell her why her analysis is wrong and do it differently, even if she disagrees. There's a lot of work that's going to go into regaining their trust. So that's how Amy's going to do the work. If you have another, we've got some more examples now. So if your problem is lack of expertise, like you've identified that's the behavior that is causing people to say you're not credible, you can overcome lack of expertise by having the relevant information and answers during meetings and presentations and in emails. And that means more study, more learning, perhaps finding a mentor. It means asking more questions and showing that you're willing to learn.
If your issue is poor presentation skills, you can learn how to present and do this with lots and lots of practice. I know from personal experience. This means that it might have to happen outside of work and with different audiences. There are lots of clubs. Wendy knows a good one that can help with presentation skills, but it might not only happen at work because a lot of folks have limited time or limited practice opportunities at work. So this might have to happen outside of work because presentations aren't happening all the time. So increasing your presentation skills.
If somebody has doubts about your decision-making, then like Amy, you have to show your work. You have to show the options that you considered, the pros and cons, and why you chose the option that you did.
Yeah. If someone's doubting your core work skills, if there are doubts about your core work skills, then the only solution is to work more carefully, develop processes, document your work, learn more to upskill yourself, observe others who are above standard to learn what's required, and obtain and listen to feedback.
So all of that is work. It's all hard work. That's the only way to get past it. And demonstrating the skills doesn't need to happen directly in front of the person who provided the feedback. So, you know, if somebody said, oh, the marketing team says you're not credible in presentations, and that was your boss, you don't have to then do presentations in front of your boss in order to prove that you can do presentations. If that feedback got back to your boss, then the positive feedback will also get back to your boss. So you just have to worry about being credible in presentations.
And Wendy, it's funny because this one actually kind of hits home for me. And it's not necessarily feedback that I've gotten about my credibility. It's how I feel during one specific time that I have to talk in front of people, which it's funny because my main job for Manager Tools is presenting. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm pretty good at it. I've gotten some really positive feedback at conferences and with folks. So thank you for that. And I have to talk about data once a month in our, we call it ops, but our a staff meeting. I only have to do it once a month. It's for 5 minutes. And for whatever reason, during this 5 minutes, I hesitate. I feel like I stutter a little bit more. I never feel like I'm giving the right answers. And I always premise it, I swear I'm better at this in my real life. Like, I know I'm talking for 5 minutes and this is actually my job. And every time I present now during my 5 minutes of my data, it's gotten better because I knew that no one was trusting my numbers, even though they might have. I wasn't trusting how I was giving this information. So every week, my slides, my Excel sheet got a little bit better. I even added color. I have pie charts now.
They're beautiful.
So I can actually bet. Oh, I was so proud of them. but I can back up the words that I'm actually saying because my words weren't making an impact. And why would anyone believe me? So I've actively, every time I do it, things have gotten a little bit better. I feel hopefully the next couple times I won't have to preface it by saying, I'm really good at this in my real life.
Because
Wendy sits on these. Yeah.
As we said, saying I'm really good at this in real life doesn't work. Doesn't do anything for the people watching her. We just go, okay, where's your numbers?
Yeah. And now I have pie charts. But every presentation I give on this, I spend a lot more time. I put the work in. And one day I hope to feel that I am just as credible as I want people to know I am. Because my information's good. Mm-hmm. It's just how I'm presenting it to the people has not been very effective, I feel like. But it's getting better, right, Wendy?
It is getting better.
Okay.
It is.
Yes.
She's great.
So back to consistency is key. Mm-hmm. Assume this level of effort will take 3 to 6 months. So I'm at like 2 months. I got time. Mm-hmm. So the saying that a leopard doesn't change its spots exists only because us humans often struggle with maintaining this long term, right? We want to make the change fast. When it doesn't happen, we essentially give up. So in your mind, you should know that it's a long term investment. So don't prove all those critics right by backsliding. Just stay the course, stay consistent, even if it's baby steps along the way.
Exactly. While you're doing it, acknowledge your weaknesses. This is my favorite thing that people do. There is no point in not acknowledging that we have an area of weakness or we're not working on improving ourselves. Because if we, for example, have been told we're not credible as a professional because we consistently miss deadlines, everybody knows it's a weakness of ours because they know we're missing the deadlines.
Yeah.
Nobody missed it. No, everybody knows, right? Everybody knows you're a bad communicator because they don't understand what you're saying. Everybody knows that you're bad at writing emails or you miss meetings or you don't get on with somebody else in the team. Like, all of that is blatantly obvious to everyone else. So you might as well just admit it and say, yeah, I'm not good at that. Please, can you help me? Or I'm working on it. Or I'm trying this. Please let me know if it helps. When you send an email and you say, I'm just following up, everybody knows that means you haven't replied and you should have. And when you say, I'm sorry, I've been so swamped, we know that means I've been procrastinating and I haven't replied to your email. So there's no secrets. Horseman's Law says there are no secrets, and there really aren't. It's like when people used to say, I didn't get your email. No, that's not true. All emails are delivered now. That's not true. Or most emails are delivered because occasionally they go to spam or they disappear. But, you know, 99.99% of emails are delivered. So you got the email. You just haven't answered it.
Yeah.
Like, we know, other people know what your weaknesses are.
So rather than pretending that your weakness doesn't exist, acknowledge that it's an issue and that you're working on it. You may be surprised at how willing others are to give you leeway, help you, and even praise your progress. When someone mentions that they've seen an improvement, thank them. Don't feel the sting of the previous failure. Bask in the sun of the praise. You're working hard and doing better. So if you know you're making those steps, thank people for noticing or helping you along the way. Don't be afraid to ask for help because that's progress.
In fact, if you admit that you're working on a specific weakness, rather than leaving your colleagues in the dark as to why you're acting weird, will give you more credibility before you've even made a change. Because if you've ever worked in an office, which I assume that most people have, there's the day that somebody comes in extra dressed up and everyone says, are you going to an interview? Because they're acting weird, you know?
Yeah.
So we all notice when people act out of character. So you can say, hey, in this meeting, I'm going to try and do X. And that will stop everyone saying, has he suddenly been answering all the questions that the boss asks? Like, is it acting weird? You can just say, I'm working on this thing. And people will be like, okay, cool.
And ask for and use feedback. Ask for ongoing feedback first from the person who gave you the initial feedback. Find out if you're improving. If you're putting in a lot of effort and they're seeing no change, then you know that either your idea of a lot of effort is not moving the needle for them, or you're putting in the effort in the wrong areas. Either answer means a change of plan is necessary. So get the initial feedback, make those adjustments, and then ask for more. It's a long-term process.
And any behavior that you have where you've been told it's a credibility issue, it's probably pervasive, which means you do it all the time in any situation. So other people will have noticed it too. And you don't want to lead every conversation that you have, every meeting that you have with, do I do this? Am I doing it better? But there are ways of asking the question differently. So for example, if you know part of your problem is not speaking loudly enough, then you can say, can you all hear me okay? Before you go into what a longer piece of speaking, because, you know, you can just be asking about the acoustics or whether your microphone's working properly. Or if you've been told it's about your expertise or the way you're explaining things, you can say, is this clear? Or do I need to explain more? Or did that make sense? So that you find out at the moment whether or not the people understood you. You don't have to say, I've been told I don't make sense. Did I? You know, like you can just tack the question on the end as to, and make it a casual inquiry. Do you need anything else, or did that make sense?
Yeah. And one of my favorite ones to do is when folks ask questions, you answer it. And if you're like, ooh, I don't know if my explanation was good enough, you say, hey, did that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Just following up. Right. It's a casual conversation because it's going back and forth, but it can change them of like, yeah, no, she did not answer my question at all. And then moved on to like, oh, no, let's dig in a little mm-hmm. bit more. Can you say it a little differently? And more times than not, you can.
Yeah.
So when Amy, back to our example, presents her next data analysis, the am I more credible now is probably much too direct of a question. So instead, a question like, did this give you everything you need? Or is there something else I can provide to support these numbers? Is a professional, reasonable, and indirectly asks about the credibility in question without being overly blunt.
And for some other actions, like if your aim is to keep your desk tidy or to tidy it every night or to be able to find a document within a certain amount of time, you can keep a tracker of, you know, just keep a count of how many times you've done it, and you just keep it yourself. You don't need to ask everybody.
Coming up in the next few weeks, we have some really exciting offerings. First, our virtual EMC is being presented with live translation to Spanish over Zoom starting October 29th at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'd love to have you. We're presenting the event in English and live in Spanish. Second, November 5th and 6th, Mark Horseman, one of our co-founders, is presenting our Chicago in-person EMC and ECC. You can sign up for either the virtual event with Spanish or to come see Mark at manager-tools.com/training.
So being told you're not credible, or this isn't credible, or you need to increase your credibility with the marketing team is serious feedback, and it stings. It's feedback that you need to take seriously. And it's not behavioral, which makes it difficult to act. But the situation is not hopeless. The work is not even complex, it's just demanding. And by breaking it down and finding the specific behavior, identifying exactly what you need to do to demonstrate that it's no longer a weakness, when you can demonstrate that and do it consistently, you can turn this around. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.